This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This heat wave is a sure sign that summer is on its way, but that also means that ticks are back out in Wisconsin's wildlife. May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, and we want to help you prevent tick bites in the first place and prevent possible infection when you're out and about this summer. Rebecca Osborne is a vector-borne disease epidemiologist for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Rebecca, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm guessing most people have the message at this point, but just to make sure, Lyme disease is kind of a big deal in Wisconsin, right?
It is, unfortunately. We are considered one of those hotspots or high incidence states for Lyme disease. So that just means we have a lot of Lyme disease infections every year, unfortunately. And so it's important to try and think about prevention.
When do we need to think about it? You know, is it only when we're going deep into the forest or even in our own backyard? Where and when do we need to be aware of this?
Yeah, so the tick that spreads Lyme disease is called the black-legged tick. Also, kind of more familiar, might be the deer tick. And it's really associated with wooded areas. So if you live near a wooded location, it could, you know, crawl into your backyard, even if it's a lawn. Otherwise, if you're out hiking or walking the dog and you're next to the woods or walking through tall grass, even, you might come into contact with this tick. So it can occur in every county in the state. But again, those specific habitat types are really its favorite spot to hang out.
Okay, so let's start with the effort to not get a tick on us in the first place. What are our main get ready precautions?
Sure. So I like to think of it as sort of three steps of prevention. You can think about it before you go outside, during your time outside, and then after your time outside. And before is really thinking about, you know, trying to keep the ticks off you in the first place. So we recommend using an EPA or an Environmental Protection Agency registered insect repellent. And that can be one of many options. Many people have heard of DEET, but there's a lot of other options, including picaridin or oil of lemon eucalyptus. These are things that you spray directly on your skin or clothing. And it's always important to, you know, follow the label instructions carefully. There's also something you can use called permethrin. It's also considered a contact insecticide. So this is something you don't spray on your skin, but you spray on your clothing, your shoes, even your camping gear. And this is done in advance of your outdoor adventure. And it can kill ticks as well as prevent them from crawling on you for up to something like 5 to 7 washes. So that's a great option as well. While you're outside, it's great to think about just avoiding those high vegetation areas. So try to stay in the middle of the trail, avoid really brushy areas or areas with lots of leaf litter on the ground. This is where the ticks tend to hang out. And then after, very important is to do a tick check. Check your whole body, yourself or your family members. You can always help others in your family, especially kids, check themselves. It's important to remember that some of the juvenile ticks can be as small as a poppy seed. So a really careful check of your entire body is important.
Yeah. So let's do our tick check now. Where are we looking and how do we know what is a tick, what is not a tick?
Great question. So ticks love to hang out in sort of the hard to see places. So, you know, back of your head and your hair, back of your knees, the neck, ears, you know, even places that you might need to use a mirror to find, you know, you can always ask a family member to help you look. I often encourage people to take a bath or a shower within 2 hours of coming indoors, because this is just another opportunity to find anything that might be crawling around you. Ticks can be difficult sometimes to identify, especially if they're really small. They don't move very quickly, but you'll often see them, you know, crawling around. They have 8 legs and they have pretty big mouth parts, but they can be pretty tiny. So again, just look for anything that might be crawling around or may even be embedded in your skin. If you do get a tick bite, there's no need to panic. You just need to try and remove it as quickly as you can.
It is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, a great time to get outside. We're finding out how to stay safe. Rebecca Osborne is with us, vector-borne disease epidemiologist for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Okay, Rebecca, we've got the tick on us. There are a lot of wrong ways to remove a tick. Can you tell us the right way, please?
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation about how is the best way to remove a tick. So here is what we recommend. Go ahead and grab a pair of fine-tip tweezers if you have one. Grasp the tick as close to the skin as possible, and you just need to pull upward and out with kind of a firm and steady tension. Here are some things not to do. Definitely don't use nail polish or a match. Try not to cover it in, petroleum jelly. Any of those things are not helpful and may just prolong the time that the tick is embedded in your skin, which can increase your chance of infection. If you don't happen to have a fine tip tweezers, you can go ahead and use your fingers. We just recommend that you shield your fingers with, a piece of tissue or some rubber gloves if possible.
And the remain calm point there. When we find the tick, I'll speak for myself. I might freak out a little. I shouldn't, though.
Yeah, it can certainly be disconcerting to have a tick bite. Nobody likes them, but not every tick carries germs and not every tick bite results in infection. So if you do get a tick bite, like we mentioned, go ahead and remove it as quickly as you can. And we do recommend after you remove it that you just watch yourself for symptoms for the next 30 days. So that would be looking for a fever or a rash or other flu-like symptoms that might develop, again, up to a month after you remove that tick. And that may indicate that you have been infected with either Lyme disease or another tick-borne illness. So we recommend you call your doctor right away if you do develop symptoms and just talk to them about the tick bite that you had and when you had it. So it's good to mark it on your calendar. You can even save the tick in a plastic bag if that's helpful. Sometimes identifying the species of tick can help figure out if you're at high risk or low risk of a tick-borne disease.
Now, a lot of times people talk about that bullseye rash from a Lyme-contaminated tick bite. But, correct me if I'm wrong, you can get Lyme disease even if you didn't get that rash?
Yeah, that's correct. So an estimated 70% to sometimes 80% of people with Lyme disease will develop the classic bullseye rash. But there's that other proportion of the population that will either never develop the rash, or maybe you were bitten, for example, on the back of your head and you developed the bullseye rash but could never observe it. So it's still important to keep in mind that you may get sick with Lyme disease without having that bullseye rash. So that's why we recommend people also look for fever and other flu-like symptoms, fatigue, just generally feeling unwell, joint pain, muscle pain, things like that might indicate a tick-borne disease.
And we've been focusing on humans mainly, but as you mentioned earlier, we might go walking with a dog. What kind of precautions can we take there?
Sure. So we always recommend that you, if you are a pet owner, that you talk to your veterinarian about tick prevention. There's a lot of options for animals, especially dogs, including a Lyme disease vaccine. But tick prevention can come in a topical treatment or an oral treatment. Again, we always make sure that you talk to your veterinarian about what's recommended for your pet. But there are ways to prevent ticks on your pet. And this is also important for human health because dogs especially are really talented at picking up ticks. And then they might come into your home. That tick might crawl off of your dog and onto a person in the house. So that's another way to try and prevent humans from getting bitten by ticks.
And Rebecca, it sounds like we're taking Lyme disease and these ticks pretty seriously. I don't want people to come away, being scared to get out and enjoy nature, right? This is serious, but the benefits of getting out and enjoying nature are pretty serious too, right?
Of course. I mean, Wisconsin is, gifted with so many wonderful places to explore. We have a beautiful, outdoor adventures in our state. So we want people to understand that it's just something you need to keep in mind every time you go outside this time of year. But with a few pretty easy steps, grab some repellent, maybe treat your clothing, think about a tick check when you're done. And that, that can really go a long way from preventing any type of infection. And again, if you do get infected, most tick-borne diseases are treated effectively with antibiotics, which is why it's important to talk to your doctor if you think you might have a tick-borne disease.
Rebecca, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
Rebecca Osborne is a vector-borne disease epidemiologist for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. She was with us today sharing practical advice on preventing tick bites and preventing Lyme disease this summer so we can enjoy nature, maybe when it cools off just a bit.